Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
Hi. Do you know how much God cares about you, really cares about you? Well, none of us totally do. Not until we die and go to heaven anyways. Today in this podcast, I'd like to share with you a very simple method of getting to know how very much God cares about you on a deeper level than you do right now. Let's start with this question, though. What to you is the heart of the church? I'm going to talk about the heart of the church, how to find the heart of the church, and in that, the heart of God, on several levels. First of all, what's the heart of the physical church? Then we're going to look at what's the heart of the metaphysical church? Because you know what? They're very tied together. The heart of the church, the physical church, what would you say is the heart there? The altar, right? The sanctuary in which the altar dwells, and the tabernacle that holds the host, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, that holds it in reserve there. The tabernacle, the altar, the ambo where the Word of God is spoken from, that's the heart of the church, the physical church. Now, the altar, when you look upon it while you're at Mass, think of the altar as, because the altar, while the priest is consecrating the bread and the wine, and actually it's Jesus in the priest who is doing it, transforming it into the real body and blood and divinity of Jesus Christ, so that we can receive Jesus in fullness. When you look at the altar as a sacred place of encountering God, of a miracle taking place, this is the heart of the physical church. But it's tied in also with the heart of the metaphysical church. What do you think that is? The metaphysical church is you and God and all the people there united in love, in worship, in support, in caring, in goodness, in holiness, in everything that is God. The metaphysical church is all of us together. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So we can say too that our bodies contain the heart of the church. The Holy Spirit is what brings the heart of the metaphysical combined with the physical church into us. I know this sounds rather complicated. Let me put it in a simpler way. Many, many years ago, back in the late 1980s, I was writing a book called Overcoming the Power of the Occult. The book is still available. You can get it off of Amazon and from Queenship Publishing. I was writing this book because I had been involved 12 years prior. I'd been involved in the occult and had been rescued from it by Jesus Christ. And that story and everything that I learned as a result of getting into trouble there is in that book. So I was writing this book, and believe me, there are demons behind the occult, and there are demons who did not want me to expose them as I was writing this book. It there was weird stuff that was happening. You know, it was like my computer, I'll call it a precursor to a computer. It was before we actually had our first computer. It was a Commodore 128. I don't know if there's anybody old enough to remember having one of those. Anyways, it would stop working in the middle of something that I was writing. There was interruptions. There was a bunch of weird stuff going on that made it very difficult to continue writing this book. And so as I was praying for deliverance from this, for help, divine help, the Lord impressed upon me to begin going to daily Mass. When I began going to daily Mass, those interferences stopped immediately. The book became much easier to write. And I said, hey, wow, this is powerful stuff going to Mass. And so I began going every day. Now, the Mass is something that incorporates a lot of things that give us protection and deliverance from demons. From the penitential rite near the beginning of Mass, where we confess our sins privately, silently to the Lord, and the priest, Jesus in the priest, absolves us of those sins, through all the prayers, everything about Mass is designed to give us full protection from evil and place us fully into the heart of God. And when we are in the heart of God, we are protected from evil. So I discovered the truth of this matter simply by going to daily Mass out of need for the sake of writing this book. And it became a regular habit once I realized the difference that this makes. So one day, while I was going to daily Mass, in the late 1980s, after Mass was finished, I was getting up to go home, I felt the Lord impress upon me, stay. I felt Jesus say to me, stay and come and spend some time with me by the tabernacle. Hey, you know, when Jesus says, come spend some time with me, you don't go home then. So I went over to the tabernacle and knelt. Now, this is the first time I had ever done something like this in public. I mean, there were still some people who were hanging behind after Mass, and I felt very self-conscious. But I said, nope, the Lord is calling me to do this, so I am going to obey, and I'm going to do it. So I knelt in front of the tabernacle. I'm like, what am I doing here, Lord? The next thing that happened was I had a vision. The Lord impressed upon me, and I was not used to having visions, but all of a sudden I saw Jesus standing in front of me just outside the tabernacle. And he was wearing his Jesus robes, and he put his hands, his robes could be opened up at the chest. And it reminded me, he was about to open up his robes at his heart. And it reminded me of when Superman opens up his Clark Kent costume, you know, and he rips open his shirt, and you see that big letter S that stands for Superman that says, okay, now his greatness is about to come through. He's about to save the world, and you know, he's about to help somebody, whatever. He's coming to the rescue. And that's what I felt Jesus was doing. He was ripping open his shirt, and what I was expecting to see, I knew I was going to see that he was about to show me his Sacred Heart. And what I expected was the picture that you often see on holy cards. I mean, and in paintings where, you know, you see that image that artists represent his Sacred Heart by, where, you know, it's a painting of a heart surrounded by thorns with flames coming out of it. I expected to see that. But what I saw instead was a pumping, beating heart. And Jesus was letting me know that he's not some static Sacred Heart on a holy card, but he is a real heart that's beating, pumping for me. That the heart of his love for me is a real human heart that suffered, died, you know, was killed on the cross, but was resurrected again. Jesus still has his human body in heaven. I mean, that human body appeared to the apostles after his resurrection, and they could even touch him. And hey, that body even ate. You remember when Jesus met Peter at the lakeside? Peter had gone fishing again, and when he got to shore, there was Jesus cooking breakfast. You know, he has a physical body still. And so that heart of Jesus still pumps for you, still beats for you out of caring about you. And because we are temples of the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus's heart within us. Because when we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Father and the Son as well. And hey, didn't we receive all of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our baptisms? So we are not only temples of the Holy Spirit, we are temples of Jesus's beating heart. There is the metaphysical heart of the church that's a combination of us united to God in all of his divinity and united to the physical church, the altar, so that when we go to Mass and participate, consciously participate fully in the Mass, paying attention to the penitential rite and taking it seriously, even before coming to Mass, thinking of what our sins are that we need to be purified of in that penitential rite. Everything that we do at Mass, consciously, fully participating in it, singing the songs, even if you feel like that God has not given you a good voice. Hey, somewhere in Psalms it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It does not say you've got to be on tune, you know, in tune. You've got to be on key. Sing, because that is praying twice. That is praying, I think, even more than twice, 10 times. It's singing is praying with something that comes from deeper within. Music affects our brains in a way that the spoken word does not. So everything about Mass is designed to help us get closer to God, to help us get more into the heart of God. So the next time you get to Mass, think about not only participating in everything consciously, fully, but looking at that altar, looking at the sanctuary. You know, when the word is being preached and read from Scripture, you know, the ambo is part of that heart of God. It's a physical podium from which the word of God is spoken. And that is part of the heart of our faith. And the altar upon which the miracle happens. You know, spend time in church reflecting on that this is where we come heart to heart with God. This is where we are immersed in the heart of God. Another way of looking at that is this. Have you ever been parched, really thirsty for something? Really thirsty. And you finally get to that cool, refreshing drink. That's what the altar is like. That's coming to the heart of God. That's what it's like. And the reason why I'm sharing this with you today is because I experienced that last Sunday myself very vividly. Perhaps you can hear it in my voice, but I have a cold and I have been suffering miserably from this cold for several days. And during that time, I mean, I'm on the mend now, but there was times when I was, the pressure behind my ears, the sinus pressure was so much that I was dizzy. I couldn't get to mass. I mean, the effects on my body was so much that, you know, I was drained of energy. I had to rest and I couldn't get to daily mass. And when you're used to going to daily mass and you make a habit of that and you realize what you're doing there, that you're experiencing, you're entering into the heart of God there, and you can't go. Okay, the first day you can't go, it's like, okay, I'm going to live off of the last time I was there. The second day you can't go, okay, I'm still going to live off of that other day. But as time goes on, you miss it more and more. And this past Sunday, and I was still feeling very drained of energy. I spent the day on the couch watching old movies, comedies, because, you know, laughter helps you feel better, even helps you heal. And my husband and I like to go to 5:30 Sunday evening mass. And as 5 o'clock was approaching, I was like, you know, I feel so lousy. I have a legitimate reason for not going to mass. It is not a sin for me to miss mass because I'm feeling so lousy. But oh my gosh, I've got to get myself up and going because I miss going to the heart of God. I miss being there immersed in the heart of God. Yes, I am with God at home. Yes, I have the fullness of His presence, including His heart with me here at home and anywhere I go, as long as I have a prayer life. But there's something about being in the physical presence of the physical and metaphysical heart of the church that makes it more real. And I forced myself to get up off the couch and get dressed and go to mass. And oh my gosh, oh, how good that was. I had a hard time singing because every time I started to sing, I started to cough. But I just looked at that altar and that whole sanctuary. And by the way, I like to sit up near the front so I could feel closer to it. And I just like, oh, thank you, God, that I am here. You know, that was my constant prayer. And as I was just living in the moment of being there in the heart of the church, in the heart of my faith, I felt better. And when I came home from Mass, I felt so much better that I thought, you know what? I don't need to take any decongestant when I go to bed tonight. I didn't get an instant total healing, but I definitely, it was a turning point. It was definitely a turning point. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is not because I was healed in Mass physically, but because I became so aware after missing Mass for so many days, I was even more conscious than normal of just how wonderful it was to be there in the heart of the church, in the heart of faith, in the heart of God, which is all saying the same thing. My friend, get to daily Mass. Don't ever miss Mass unless you absolutely cannot get there because of some kind of disability or whatever. Just get there. And if you have daily Mass available to you in your community, get to daily Mass. If you can't get to daily Mass because of your schedule, ask God to change your schedule. And He will. But you've got to be willing to follow His lead and trust Him, because sometimes when, you know, what it takes to get us to daily Mass is we have to lose our job or something else happens that shakes up our schedule and we're like, oh no, my schedule, you know, I've lost, you know, something has changed here. And we've forgotten that we asked God to change it. But you know what? God never ever leads us to disaster. So if he changes, if you ask him to change your schedule so that you can get to daily mass, and then your schedule changes, even if it seems bad the way it happens, rejoice, because God is doing it because he cares about you. And he is going to lead you to, if you've lost your job, he's going to lead you to a better job. He's not going to leave you destitute. But whatever, trust him. And believe me, my friend, going to daily mass and making a habit of it gives you protection against demons, gives you a closer connection to God, gives you purification for your own sins, and helps you enter more fully into the heart of God and become more aware of how much God cares about you. You know, it is in Mass when I hear God most clearly speaking to me. I have learned down through the years that I should trust what comes to my imagination during Mass. Yes, I still do some double checking on things. I still mistrust myself and my own imagination that maybe I'm putting words into God's mouth or I'm imagining things he's not showing me. But I have learned that 90%, maybe even more than 90% of the time, what comes to my imagination during Mass is from the Lord. Unlike any other time, it is in Mass, because there we are in the heart of the church. There we are in the heart of God himself. Now, I would like to segue into what I want to do at the end of each of these podcasts on Footsteps to Heaven. I would like to share with you how much God cares about you by asking the Lord to give me a word of knowledge that is for some of the people who are listening. In my last podcast, I received some words of knowledge. By the way, I pray before I begin recording the podcast, and I share at the end of the podcast what the Lord shared with me, or what I think the Lord shared with me. And yes, I've been to Mass this morning before making this podcast. Now, in the last podcast, I shared that that the Lord was opening a door for somebody. And Adrienne contacted me to say this was for her. She says, I'm downsizing and preparing for a move, and his part is to show me the way, a door to open. And I've asked that he make it very obvious. I want to know that it's his will, not mine. And so I have been praying, and I pray right now, and I ask all of you to pray with me. Lord, make that door that you are opening for Adrienne very, very obvious. Thank you for opening that door. I know you are. I know that you did not give me a word of knowledge for Adrienne just to exercise my vocal cords. Also, I'd like to pray for Sandra, because I had a word of knowledge last time about someone's left big toe was in pain. And Sandra says she's been having a bad pain in the joint of that toe, which has been causing problems walking and exercising. And so I ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch that big toe of hers and totally heal it, remove the pain, remove the arthritis from it, or whatever it is that's causing it. Lord, just heal that toe. Thank you. I know that you care about Sandra, because this is what the word of knowledge is all about. It's you communicating, Lord, that you care, that you know us intimately, and that you care. And one of my other words of knowledge that the Lord gave me last time was about someone struggling with a broken heart. And I'd like to share with you what someone emailed me after that. I'm not going to say the name because I'd like to keep this confidential. She said, on the night of Easter Sunday, which was just a few nights prior to when she heard this podcast, she said, I was about to sleep, and I literally cried as I prayed to Jesus, and I sobbed like a little girl and begged for him to comfort me and heal me. Since then, I have been looking for inspiring or comforting words online, and I thought to check out my email where I subscribe to Good News Ministries. Your announcement about starting your podcast on Footsteps to Heaven jumped out at me, and I hoped and prayed that God would have a word for me. As I listened, you mentioned a word for someone with a problem in his left toe and another, and it's so forth. And then she says, and another one about waiting for God to open a door. And my heart sank, and I thought, you were done with your word of knowledge, and none of those words spoke to me. And then suddenly you mentioned about someone who has a broken heart. And I listened intently as you spoke, and I felt that God was speaking to me. This is what the word of knowledge gift is all about. It's about knowing that God is speaking to you because he cares. So before I began this podcast, I prayed again, Lord, what is it that you would like me to share with people who are listening to this new podcast that says that you know about them, that you care about them, and you are intimately involved in solving their problems? And as I was praying, I saw an image of a sheep grazing. Now, I almost didn't write this down because, you know, I didn't get any message with it. It doesn't make any sense with me. If this makes sense to somebody who is listening to this podcast, please come to our website, gnm.org, and use the contact form to let me know what this sheep image is all about and why this speaks to you. I guess it's maybe some kind of confirmation or something. God, but you know, I tried to get rid of the image of the sheep in my head. I asked the Holy Spirit, if this is not from you, get rid of it. And it just came back even, you know. So another word of knowledge that I got was the word voice. And I felt that God is going to give someone an opportunity and the boldness to speak up in a difficult work situation. And I kept praying, and then I heard the word headaches, and I saw a forehead and Jesus' hand touching someone's forehead to heal the headache. And if this is you, whoever this is for, Jesus wants you to know that he is speaking peace to you. I don't know what the headaches are caused by or anything like that, but the word peace came to my mind with the word of knowledge that Jesus is speaking peace to you as he is touching your forehead. My friends, know that God cares deeply about you, and all the other people listening to this podcast, I don't have a word of knowledge for you right now, but God does. Pray, go to Mass, open yourself up during the Eucharist, during the consecration of the Eucharist. Open yourself up as you look at the altar and realize it's the heart of the church. It's the heart of God. It's the heart. You know, you have just made a pilgrimage when you went to Mass. You have made a pilgrimage to the heart of God. And he has a word for you. Pray this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.